Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, what's up with you, man?
Blog Talk Radio, man.
Let's go. In his line. Still got ladies choosing. Set my alarm clock for 3:45 Central Time. No snoozing, whether the crib or you cruising. If you ain't tuned in to Dennis Live Show from 4 to 5:30, then you losing. It's about that time. Go on, hit the line. Go on, get your friend. Speak your mind or listen in. You know we about to get it in. Log on or listen in. Dennis Live, you so many internet gigabytes. Bill Gates, listen in. Love for other blog sites. Comparing the shadow of the cities. It's like bringing cats to a dog fight. When peso spit is pure talent. You couldn't see me if you turned on your halogens. Your high beams are fog like shat drop bombs. Info type triple dub. Western World ONE.com. The shat drop bombs. Need some info type triple W's. Western World ONE.com. It's a thin and slide. In its 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 slide. Tuned in the thin and slide. Dennis Live.
Sleep Dilla Productions. Soundmaster T. WesternWorld.com. www.westernworldone.com. Blog Talk Radio. Chi-Town, what up? Let's go. You already know me.
What's up, world? How y'all feeling today? This your boy, Dennis Live. Hey, man. Can't nobody mess with the click. 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 That's my phone, boy. Hey, man. Well, check it out. This is what we're going to do today. We're going to be talking about adverse possessions, a.k.a. squatter's rights, okay? All right. The difference between the squatter... an adverse possession. Nothing. You hear me? Nothing. Okay? Alright. Adverse possession is what? Is a process by which premises can change ownership by using property for a period of time without paying for it. Squatters, right? It is governed by the statute concerning to the land that's fixed by structure built, you know what I'm saying, upon it, okay? For example, squatter's rights, specific forms of adverse possession, all right? Now, there are limitations, like you do have a statute of limitations of, you know what I'm saying, sitting on that property for a lengthy period of time, and really it's years, you know what I'm saying, in different states. It's a lot of states that do allow it because it is a right. You know what I'm saying? It could be a slum lord that just left the property there and don't want to do nothing with it. And there could be property that's just in an area where, let's say, for instance, other landlords are in that area, right? We're gonna go to home. Let's just say a block club, a community area, right? You have all these boarded homes, it makes your neighborhood look bad. And the landlord just turned to a slumlord. He don't care about it no more. You know what I'm saying? Maybe his taxes overlean, it got sold by a bank or something. You don't know. We don't know. All right? And let's just say some people, squatters. Squatters are people that just go to, you know, vacant apartments and houses and homes, and they just sit there. Now, the thing is, where it turns into an adverse possession is they start bringing paint. They start building a gate or a fence around that property. They start fixing the whole place up, cosmetic-wise, make it look good. Okay? And then they sit there. Nobody come. Now, it's a limitation now. You know, far as how long you could be in that facility or in that home or on that property. Okay? Now, Illinois, it requires, I believe it's what, 20 years? Let me see. Yeah, 20 years. A landlord or a bank, if they don't come to, you know, that aid while you're sitting there squatting for 20 years, nobody come there, you do have legal rights. Now, I do understand, like, far as, okay, you get the water turned on in there, right? You pay the water bill. You get the lights turned on. Lights turned on in your name at that place. What else we could say? Easy to have some kind of possession of paper that you legally doing something with that place. Now what they have to do is they got to get, it's turned into a civil suit law now. Okay, now they got to take you to court. They got to give you an eviction, like a 30-day eviction or something like that. You know, because now you are considered a tenant. and that means that they can't do nothing to you, you know, until that, you know, you've been served the papers. Also, too, they could change the locks. You know what I'm saying? So they change the locks on you, then that means you're there. But the thing is, they got to go to court to evict you. Because technically, even though you're on their property, your stuff is still in their house. So they can't just come and evict your stuff and just take it out without getting court papers. These are squatters, right? Crazy, huh? But check it out, though. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play some commercials, man. Then I'm going to come back. Play some commercials. Let me just pay the bills, my bad. I'm going to pay these bills, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to come in with a, you know, about a 3.5-minute clip. You know I do the clips. I love clips, man. But we, you know, as other people, man, we can break it down and dissect it. All right? It's about adverse possession. It's going to talk about some of the things, and it's five things that you can do as an adverse possession person, or a.k.a. squatters, that you can keep that property. That's crazy, huh? And I'm doing this, man, because I've been hearing about this for so long, and I just want to know, what is it? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people was doing this back in the civil rights days because, you know, when they was fighting and they had left abandoned properties and stuff like that. So people around you don't really mind, because as long as you upkeep something, keeping it clean and not doing nothing bad with it, they want you there. Then you can be there because they know that somebody's going to really take care of that property. Crazy. All right, man. So without further ado, I'm going to play this clip when we come back, all right? Man, I hope you people are ready, man, because we finna have some fun. All right? And I'm going to let you know what rights that is, too. It falls under the amendment.
Do you need or know someone that needs advertising at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's the shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
If your furnace broke down, would you call an expert rapper?
Woo! Your furnace broke down, now everybody chillin'. From your head down to your toes, you got no feeling.
Yeah, no. You'd call the real furnace experts. Service experts. You'll get a written 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, get a free service call with any repair. Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS. Or visit serviceexperts.com. Visit serviceexperts.com for license information.
Did you know you can't say f***ed on the radio? It's true. And you can get in some serious trouble with the FCC for saying s*** too. That's a real shame, because those are exactly the words you'd use to describe the state of your credit. Meanwhile, you wonder what might have happened if you'd have went to CreditFX to have your credit repaired. The fact is, at CreditFX, we specialize in having credit bureaus legally erase f***ed up credit. With over 7 years of experience, knowledge, and the most advanced software in Jacksonville, our goal is to protect your financial reputation. Don't wake up in the morning feeling like shit and come home feeling totally f***ed over. Visit CreditFXOnline.com. If you've had credit problems in the past, and who hasn't, visit CreditFXOnline.com. It's the smart way to get the help you need so you can get the things you want. Visit CreditFXOnline.com. Believe me, you'll feel like a dumb sh** someday if you don't.
I'm not satisfied with just getting by. I like to get ahead, and that's why I carry the prepaid Visa Rush Card.
I get my pay deposited directly to my Rush Card, so I never have to pay check cashing fees ever.
And I get access to my money up to 2 days early, which comes in handy.
Plus, my prepaid Visa Rush Card makes it so easy for me to pay bills and shop online.
You can use your Rush Card to get cash or check your balance at over 23,000 MoneyPass ATMs nationwide with no fees.
And I can use it everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Why just get by when you can get ahead? Thanks, Rush Card.
Get your Rush Card right now and we'll refund your one-time card fee, a value of up to $9.95. Call 1-877-319-7243 or go to rushcard.com now and use promo code THRIVE. 1-877-319-7243. Limited time offer. Don't delay.
Hey, yo, Ace, I'm having a hard time getting my mixtape heard. You know where I can go get my mixtape heard?
Yeah, bro, just go check out Western World 1. You got to have your bars ready. You got to have it clean. Make sure it don't be whack. You got to be entertaining, bro. Go to westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com.
Yeah, that's right. Get your mixtape heard each and every Friday here. westernworld1.com. That's www.WESTONWORLDONE.com. Get that mixtape. Get it to us. Check it out. That's how we do it. Each and every Friday. Each and every 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's go.
The Western World 1 Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorld1.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorld1.com.
All right, man. We back in the building. Man, well, basically, man, before I play this clip, I just want to get people to understand the difference between an adverse possession, aka squatter rights. Okay, now, adverse possession is a process by which premises can be changed ownership by using property for a period of time without paying for it. Squatter rights, okay? It is governed by the statute concerning to the landlords and the fixture structures built upon it. For example, you know, saying squatter rights, you know, coming there painting, making the cosmetics look good. And just breaking down short a little bit because, you know, I broke it down already. Putting a fence or a gate around the property. And it's a statute of limitation in Illinois about it, right? Most of it is like 20 years. So you could squat for 20 years, and that will void out the person that owns the lease, even bankers. They can't come in and do nothing. Okay? Now, for instance, let's say, for instance, okay, I have, all right, I see a building or a house or something, right? Okay, I go over there. I do the cosmetic work to it. I pay the water bill. It's in my name. I paid the light bills in my name. Okay, now in order for these people, yeah, squatters, I gotta be fair about it. Okay, if the owner of that property comes over there, right, and they see that you're there, you know, and see you painting whatever, they have to evict you out the place. I mean, they got to go to civil court, and they got to go downtown, whatever, to get, you know, eviction notice, come over there and evict you up out of there. Because by right, you got 30 days to get your stuff up out of there. You never signed a lease or nothing, which you are there illegally. But they still got to have some kind of eviction notice in order for them to touch your stuff. So because they got to evict you up out of the place. Crazy. And then they got to change the locks and do all that too. You know what's the killer part about it is? Some people might not even, can't even afford the property. But they still own it, but they probably can't afford to pay for you to get evicted. And guess what? You live in there. That's part of that 20-year limitation. That's why you get these slumlords, because they can't afford to keep the property up kept. So they just abandon it. You know, or the banks probably come and it was part of, you know, the lien on it or repossession of it, you know, due to like child support or property tax evasion, whatever, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. Okay? All right, but you know what, before I play this clip, man, I'm going to bring in my co-host, man. LB.
What's going on? What's going
on? What's up, big dog?
Nothing, man. You know, doing family thing.
Okay.
One family thing. Got my daughter out here at Dave and Buster's at a perfect party. So, you know,
okay.
Ain't no telling where you're going to catch me at. But today, that's where I'm at right now.
Living, baby. That's what I love.
So, I hear that you're putting my business in the street, that I'm squatting in the place that I'm at.
Oh, man. Hey, hold on. This right here, man, is... yeah.
You're putting my business in the street. Yes, I'm squatting.
Hey, the thing is, I'm not trying to put the business out there, anything like that, man. You know how we do it, man. When we want to learn something, and if nobody else want to teach us, we got to go out here and do it ourselves. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to, you know, mess with the silence, the secrecy, the code of the land, or anything like that. I'm just trying to learn. Nobody want to teach me. You know how we are. We go do it ourselves, and that's the only reason why I'm doing the show. Now, look, check it out. Since I honor you, you want me to cut out? Want me to cut the show?
No. You took my trade and how I just go and start living in the place and cutting the grass and watering the lawn and, you know, changing light bulbs and stuff, you know, beautifying the place, sending mail to my house and stuff so I can actually legally reside there. Please tell people.
That's what's up.
Because you have a piece of mail that comes to that residence, you legally reside there.
Wow.
I understand anything that comes in the mail is federally, is a federal thing. So if you have a piece of mail that comes to that address, you legally reside there. That person has to legally go and have you put out.
Wow. So you mean to tell me I own this property? I never signed a lease or anything.
Nope.
You still got to evict me?
If I go and move into your mother's house, and she lives there right now, and I move into your mother's house, that means your mama let me stay there for more than a week. If I decide the second week, coming on to that second week, I decide I don't want to leave, your mother has to go down and file an eviction paper in order for me to leave. And if I have mail coming to that address while I'm living with her, she has to most definitely go down there and file for an eviction notice.
Wow. That's, man, it's so crazy how people, you know, you know people make a living off of this. You know what I'm saying? They turn around and fix it up and rent it out, sell a property to somebody. You know, this is how they get their money too. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Man, dude, let me tell you something, man. I'm gonna do it like this. I'm gonna play this clip about, you know, the adverse possession. You pretty much broke it down for us. But you know how we do it, man. We want to be, you know, we want it broken down as if we was in third grade. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this one. I'm going to play this clip, man. The difference between an adverse possession and a squatter. The street terminology is squatter. You know what I'm saying? The adverse possession is, that's what they call it in, you know, in courts. And it's your legal right, like you just said. So I'm going to play this clip, man. A clip about, it's about a good 3.5 minutes long, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Here we go. Man, this is a bug, you be. Let's go.
Hello, my name is Jennifer George, and I am an attorney at Isaac Brandt Levin & Teeter in Columbus, Ohio. Today, I wanted to speak to you about an area of property law. Now, whether or not you own property, actually, this area of the law could very well affect you. So if you don't own property, don't turn off this video. The area of law is called adverse possession. And it's actually surprising, I think, for most people to learn that such an area of law exists and how it affects us on a daily basis. And the reason I think it's particularly applicable to today's society is because it's no secret that we're getting larger and larger, and because of that, we're oftentimes building closer and closer. So what is adverse possession? In short, adverse possession is a way for someone who doesn't have legal title to land to actually become an owner of that land. Or, inversely, if you do have legal title to the land, you can actually lose legal title to that land to someone who does not have it. And what the law looks at as far as reasoning or policy behind why have adverse possession is it's a way to stabilize our boundaries. Like I said, we're all building fast. A lot of times you could have two plots of land. You could have a house built on that land and never truly have a survey done. Or perhaps you put up a fence, but you're fairly certain based on your mind's eye and based on activity that happens around the property on a daily basis that that is your property line and that's where you erected that fence. Well, your choice to erect an fence in that area could have long-lasting effects, and that's where adverse possession comes in. So if for instance, someone once says, actually, that is my land, where you say it's your land, that is my land. The law is going to ask them to show five things, and there are five things they need to prove to show that they get title to that legal title to the land that's actually yours. And the five things are whether there is actual possession of that plot of land, which means is there physical appearance of activity on that land, whether it's planting plants, trees, putting up a fence, whether that person's there on a daily basis. Next, they look at whether there's what's called open and notorious. And that is essentially similar to actual possession, which is when someone drives by, does it look like someone lives on that land? Are you doing to that land what a real owner would be doing to that land? Next is something called hostile, which isn't truly what it sounds like. Hostile is pretty much that you're acting as if you own that land when it's really not yours. It doesn't matter whether it's intent to do that or whether there's no intent to do it. Maybe it's by mistake. Next, it has to be exclusive, which means if you're acting a certain way on land that's not yours, that you're not actually sharing that with who is the rightful owner of it. And finally, it needs to be continuous, which means there shouldn't be huge breaks of time in which you're being active on that land. And that is really going to be regarded depending on what type of land it is. For instance, is it a field where crops are grown? Or is it a residential property where you should be out there on a daily basis or pretty close to it? And the next kicker is that there's a long period of time for which these five things need to go on. It's actually 21 years under Ohio law. And Ohio is one of the states where adverse possession is a true doctrine that is enforced by the Ohio courts and has recently been by the Ohio Supreme Court. So a legal tip is take note of where your property lines are. Take steps to verify them. If you think there's irregular activity that shouldn't be going on, take steps to put others on notice that, in fact, there are. If you have any questions about this matter or any other legal issues, please don't hesitate to call us at Isaac Brandt, Levin & Teeter, 614-221-2121. Thank you.
Man, oh. LB, come on.
Are you gonna man, so after 21 years of me living on this land, it can automatically be deemed as mine if I'm taking care of that property.
Yes,
as if
sir.
It was mine. Now, does that apply for here in the United States, I mean, here in Chicago, in the state of Illinois?
Oh, it's 20 years here.
Oh, so that applies for here in the state of Illinois as well?
Absolutely.
Wow. I better start looking for some damn property and living in it, damn.
You see what I'm saying? What you do is the cosmetic work and all that stuff is, I think that was number three, was hostile, and number two, appearance. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you go in there, you fix it up, you put the paint on there, you do this, you do all that, and you there is yours. You are considered the actual landlord. That's what landlords do. They clean their land. They lords over that land. So you, until that person comes in and show the legal documentation, say, hey man, that's what it is. Now they got to do what you said. They got to go down to, you know what I'm saying, downtown, Daily Center, and try to evict you up out of there. And 9 times out of 10, sometimes they can't afford it. So you just there.
Wow.
So, you know, we
wow.
have a couple of buddies that do this, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I got the rundown on that too.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I got a 3-part clip that wanna break it down. But see, this first half, I wanted them to know the difference between an adverse possession person, aka a squatter, because we know squatters are people that just go and just live there. An adverse
mm-hmm.
possession, which is the same thing. But you started doing maintenance work with adverse possession. You started fixing that place up like it's yours. Also, too, it's like you said, you put a gate around it, a fence around that community. You see what I'm saying? So now it's considered
mm-hmm.
yours. And like you said, you go get a piece of mail, you know what I'm saying, pay the water bill, you do all this. See, when they find out, see, like a lot of the banks, they pay people to go around and look at the properties, you know what I'm saying, that they know. See, because it'd be on that paper, you know what I'm saying? You know, we get that same paper, like what the realtors normally get. The realtors, they get that paper saying
mm-hmm.
this is what they own, this, all that. They have security guards that, you know what I'm saying, rise around and make sure that the property is, whether it's
right.
And also, too, man, she said something, too. Let's say you got an open lot, okay? Nobody's doing nothing
mm-hmm.
with your open lot. You see nothing but cars up in there. You build a house on that lot. If they don't come within them 20 years or whatever that is to say, hey, man, you can't live on this land, you own that lot. And you own whatever you gate around that, you own all that.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
man.
That's powerful right there, brother.
Yeah, man.
Gotta go in.
Hey, man, I know you, you know, do you have time to kick it with us on the show? Because I know you're doing a family thing.
Yeah, I got time for you. What I'm doing is, I'm grabbing my daughter real quick, so go ahead. Play the next clip.
Okay. Absolutely, man. That's reaction I'm about to do, man. This right here, man, this is part one. Now, this right here is telling you the rights of the squatter and the wrongs as far as trying to sell the property. Hey, you ever heard that on ID channel, I almost got away with it? That's what he did. He almost got away with it. All right, man, here go part one. Let's go.
There we go. About a year ago, Lynn Reed was in the market for a small home in a good neighborhood. Her real estate agent showed her this one. So she made an offer, but the deal was somewhat complicated by the fact that this was a short sale. That's when a financially troubled seller works with the bank to sell the property for less than the seller owes.
Unfortunately, because the lenders are taking so long in their process to get approval for a short sale or for a foreclosure, we are seeing properties stay vacant without anybody taking charge of the property for sometimes more than a year.
This place was only vacant a few months before someone moved in.
We hadn't closed the property, and a squatter showed up, and there were a number of men who had buckets of paint, and then one of the neighbors noticed this, and the agents noticed this, and they tried to come over and stop this from happening. But before they could do anything, this squatter had moved in and put the utilities in his name.
Lynn Reed says this is the squatter, videotaped by an investigator she hired. His name is Terry Savoy, and he has had run-ins with the law before. Even so, the police said there was nothing they could do.
He doesn't have to show any proof that he actually owns the property or is legally renting the property or anything like this. And that's all it takes. He establishes residency. A piece of mail comes to the property, and the sheriff will not arrest him because they think it's a civil matter at that point.
The police are often reluctant to get into the middle of these disputes because the squatter may produce official-looking documents, and the police are in no position to judge whether they're legitimate. So the legal owner must go to court to get an eviction notice, and that process can take months. Making matters worse, the legal owner in this case was in no position to go to court.
The problem is, this is a short sale. The owner has no money to be represented by an attorney to get this guy out. So that makes it much more difficult.
So this guy was smart enough to target that kind of a property.
Yes. Right. We believed so, yes.
But Savoy seemed to have been interested in more than just securing a place to live.
Wow.
That's crazy right there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My man's outweighs that paper. So that means documentation really don't mean nothing. I mean, it's important for the landlord, but it's not important for the adverse possessor. All right, squatter.
Mm-hmm.
We could go right now, find an abandoned spot, put some paint out there, take pictures, and start decorating and fix the place up like nothing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do nothing to you. She said it could take months before a person, the landlord, could come in there with paperwork to evict you up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Now, it's good and it's bad. You see what I'm saying? Now, if I'm a landlord, if I'm not keeping my stuff up, why not let somebody live there that's going to do what they need to do?
Because we have the mentality is, man, how dare he, this, that, and the other. I lost out, so why should I let somebody else gain from what I lost?
True. Now, some people might turn around and say, okay, well, I'll tell you what, man. You know what? You living in my property, man. I'm gonna get the lease signed over to you. We're going to avoid all that credit checking and all that stuff, all right? Mm-hmm. Pay me what you can on a monthly basis. This is what I normally charge, but I'll work a deal with you, man. $200, $300, you know what I'm saying? I'll let you live here till you get a job. And then we'll work it out to where if you're paying that $500, $600. Hey, now let me tell you something. Don't this sound like... You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
What do they call subsidized housing?
Same thing.
There you go. These banks will take over that stuff because they tell us they'll pay the property taxes, they'll pay all this, they'll pull the liens from you, from the IRS, they take your property, and just they turn it into a subsidized housing. But with the subsidized housing, they get government grants. So they get money already for this. It's crazy. I told you, brother, they get deeper. So the only difference between a squatter and subsidized housing is that squatter really needs some place to stay. They don't mm-hmm. have paperwork to do all that old, you know, saying the right or wrong. Credit probably just super bogus. Subsidized housing means you got to get approved by somebody else in order to get in a spot that was already ceased or taken over. Because they got the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Now, that was clip one, right? Okay. So the guy that's in this clip, man, I don't know him. not trying to slander his name or anything, but this is what was on their news. This is what they were doing, and I felt like this was a real good example of what can happen. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we got part one out the way. He can't, you know, he in the place now. It's his now. He, you know, landlord can't afford to, you know, to take him to civil court. But watch what this fool do, okay?
Okay.
So part two, let's go.
He took out this ad on Craigslist, advertising the home for rent.
We found this ad in Craigslist.
Oh, you're kidding!
For this place.
Oh my God!
So he's been trying to advertise this.
Oh well, there we are.
Yeah.
Even with the furniture.
It's exactly. This
yep.
is the house, and uh-huh. he's saying beautiful single family home, full of personality, in a quiet residential neighborhood, and it goes on. The home is
uh-huh.
perfect, and then of course here we are. This is the room we're looking at, and he's tidied it up. It looks fabulous.
Savoy's ad attracted multiple renters, and several of them put down cash deposits ranging from $1,200 to $3,000 and signed official-looking leases. Renters say he kept putting off the promised move-in date by claiming repairs were needed. But his luck ran out one fateful day in December when several of those would-be renters happened to show up at exactly the same moment.
What's up, man? How are you?
Likewise.
What's going on here?
Jose Castillo first met Ben Daly when they both came to question Savoy about why the so-called plumbing repairs were taking so long.
Put in the driveway, looking for the water main damage. Ben sees me. He pulls up behind me and asks me what I'm here for. And I explain to him that my stepson's going to rent this property today. And
their son had paid first and last on this house already. And from that point, I knew, you know.
It was a scam.
Yeah, and... He pulled up and saw both of us and didn't leave. He pulled up and parked right there, and my buddy parked his truck behind him, blocking him in.
So Ben proceeded to call the police, and then I proceeded to call the police, and then the police showed up to discover at the end of all this that he's not the owner of this property. He's, you know, he broke in, posing as the owner, and stealing people's deposits.
The police arrested Savoy because there appears to be evidence these people had been criminally defrauded, but the victims have yet to recover their money. Castillo's stepson, Daniel, put down $3,000 in cash with hopes of living in the house with his wife and three children.
We were under the assumption that we were moving in on the 15th. We
sign the lease. We had a move-in date. He gave us keys, which we later found out they didn't work.
The Castillos and Ben Daly have both filed suit against Savoy in small claims court. They are still stunned at the cool way they say Savoy played them. When we reached Savoy, he had no comment for.
Wow.
Man.
Hey, man, I gotta give my boy Savoy the horn, man. My man did the dot to dot, right? That's what you saw it.
Yeah.
This dude,
let's see,
man.
He got greedy. He got too greedy. You know, he was supposed to hit and then, you know, hit a few people that leave. He kept hitting. He's like, man, this is a for sure thing. I'm getting cash payments too. I get checked. That's what I'm gonna ask that. He could have hit that lick and got out of dodge. But greed set in. So that's what ultimately messed him over was the greed. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what ultimately messed him over was greed, you know? If you would have
So you mean to tell me, right? He had two, right? One was like $1,200, $3,000.
Right. Right.
They said they was going.
Right.
One of them was like they supposed to move in on the 15th, but he said the water pipes had busted or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
This sounds so familiar with my situation. Go ahead.
Right, he kept saying something was wrong with the plumbing, so that's why they couldn't move in right away. He's getting the plumbing worked on, but he got all along. He got their money, and they're putting their money down to secure the place that he won't rent the property to anyone else. You know, here in my instance, I did work for a landlord one time, and he didn't want to pay me my money that I was asking for. And in return, I was like, no problem. I took his property and put a sign in the window for rent. Got people calling me. And the first lady who I felt that was worthy of it, you know, because I had a few people who wanted it. The first lady who I thought was worthy of it, I turned around and rented the property out to her. And got my money. Actually, I got $2,800 out the deal. And told the landlord, you know, told the tenant that there's another partner that's going to be coming there to look at this prop that you'll meet. And the landlord came to meet him. And after that, he called my phone telling me, well, man, you know, you ran off with my money. And I said, well, you owe me money in the same breath of air, so fair exchange is no robbery. So I turned around and I listed all the things that I did extra on this property. And he couldn't do anything but turn around and say, yeah, you're right, you did a lot. You did do all these extra things, so on and so forth. So at the end of the day, that's all I needed to hear. And I kept the text messages and everything. And forward that text message to my email. That way, if he decided to take me to court later on, he wouldn't have a leg to stand on. Automatically, you agreed that I did do a lot of these extra things.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's always more than one way to skin a cat.
Right. So, basically, you were just, you know, you was getting your money back.
Exactly.
For what was going on.
But imagine how many people are getting properties and putting a couple of dollars in them and renting them out, and then ultimately they don't ever own the property.
Wow. Man, dude, I mean, just with the... So as in this situation, man, he don't even own this. But in your situation, that person owned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he still didn't want to do what it was and you still let the tenant move up inside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that tenant still there, or, you know, how's that working?
As far as I know of, that tenant's still there. I mean, he went over there, he talked to the tenant, you know, this, that, and the other. He told me he had went over there and talked to the tenant. So now I gave her a receipt and everything. So now I gave her a receipt for this property. So in order to evict her out of that property, he has to go to court. How you doing?
So the same way.
In the same mannerism.
Okay. Well, you know what? The reason why I asked you that is because the third clip is going to break that kind of down a little bit, all right? So I'm going to play this third clip. We're going to dissect it. All right? There you go.
Okay.
Squatters' rights are protected under certain circumstances. If a squatter moves into an abandoned building, pays property taxes, and the owner doesn't object, he could end up owning that property. But now a new breed of squatters, con artists, are taking advantage of that gray legal area.
So widespread is the practice that there are now websites devoted to instructing people how to get away with squatting in abandoned properties. One tip: if you can make a rundown exterior look great, your neighbors might actually appreciate you.
The laws of California regarding this kind of situation have not kept up with the situation. The laws are targeted to protect tenants against abusive landlords, and that's the laws under which a squatter is able to stay in the property. So we don't have a law or yet that helps a landlord. We have laws that help illegal tenants.
Of course, owners can always go to court and win an eviction.
Sheriff's Department.
It can take a long time, and it can cost thousands of dollars.
No, Sheriff's Department here for the eviction.
But as we saw when we rode along with sheriff's deputies one day, evictions are swift and certain.
Sheriff's Department here for the eviction as you come to the door.
After someone is evicted and the locks are changed, the owner still has to clean up the mess they leave behind. So what can owners, buyers, and renters do to protect themselves from squatters in the first place?
Well, the very first thing is if you are an owner or a real estate agent representing an owner who moves out of a property, you have got to be absolutely, ultimately confident on a daily basis that the property is secure. So either you have somebody check on the property or you check on the property.
The only thing that I could have done is had someone that had access to one of those realtor websites, and you could find out that it was bank-owned.
Or you could just listen to your mother.
She just was like, this guy, it seems something's wrong with this guy. He's just very shaky, and he's very nervous when he talks to us.
So your mother didn't trust him?
From day one when we came to see the property, she actually told me, I don't think we should rent this property.
At last report, the victims say Terry Savoy was trying to convince them that he would refund their money.
What you think about that, LB?
Man, that's wow. You know, it's you know, basically, you know, if there's a will, there's a way, and if there's any type of loophole that a person can actually get away with something, they will sure try to push the limits and boundaries in order to do that. And that's just a legal loophole that they're using in order to try to get away with something, you know. And that's the bottom line of that. That's a legal loophole in order to somebody trying to get away, in order to get away for a while, you know. Now, the question is, are they going to be able to live in that property for 20 years without anybody not noticing anything with it? Nah, I don't think so. You know, that's a slippery slope right there. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we have a lot of properties out here that we have a lot of people who are homeless. And at the end of the day, if you can somewhat try to provide some type of living conditions for homeless people, you know, that would get a lot more of them off the street, you know. But unfortunately, here in America, we're not going to think that way because America is in itself, how can I say this? America is used to eating is young.
Okay.
So, you know, is America is a business. And we talked about this before. It is a business. So by it being a business, it's
not America. Clearly. But the United States of America. Not America.
Yes.
America is a country. But the United States of America is a business.
Okay.
But go ahead, I'm in the country. I want the people to know the difference.
Okay, okay. Now, I'm glad you told me that, too.
Thank you.
That there is a difference between America and the United States of America.
Right. You know what it is, and I'm gonna let you finish that. Now, and you know, this is for the people that's tuning in. We're breaking down the difference between the adverse possession squatters, okay? It's AKA squatter rights, okay? It's just adverse possession is just the terminology in court. You know, squatters is the, you know, that's the street term. It's also you use in court too, but they just go with adverse possession. You know how they do it. Anyway, and I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna dissect the clip in the next hour. So we just breaking it down, and then we're gonna, you know, LB have time because you know he's doing something with his family. We're gonna do it all over again in the next half too. All right, but
okay.
The difference between this last clip, LB, was this man. Not only he went, to, you know, they called the cops. They found out he wasn't, you know, he couldn't get up in there. The landlord that actually owns this property, she didn't have the money to go take them to, you know, to evict them up out there, right? All right. And he was still legally there. Now, he goes to jail. Don't you know, if she didn't have the money to evict that person up out of there, she still could touch his stuff.
Wait, say that. Repeat that again.
I'm going to break it down to the simplest term. Listen to this. You in my crib. You in my home, right? I can't afford to evict you. Okay? You started to, you know, take out ads on Craigslist and everything. And you start subleasing the place. You start renting it out. You know what I'm saying? You doing what you're doing, right? Right? Okay, you get the money and everything off of it, right? But you prolong the situation. People come that's, you know, that put their money down on the place. They mad at you. They call the police on you. But right now, he's not legally there. Well, you're not legally there. That's not your place. But now you doing scamming. So that's how you got to go to jail. You know, turn around. I own the place, right? I go to my place. Your stuff is in there. If I didn't go down there to get you evicted, you can't touch my stuff. You can't sit up in there. So when I get out of jail, I still have the right to go back to that place. Until you evict me. Or take me to court, a civil law court, saying that I don't belong there. Crazy.
Man.
Crazy. So what I'm going to do is this, man. I'm going to play some little commercials, man, and I'm going to pay the bills. That's
okay.
All that terminology we got to say it. Pay the little bills. We're going to come back. We're going to break down the clips again for the next hour, man. Man, the phones are ringing off the hood, B. Wow. All right, well, here we go. Let me do it like this, man. And what I'm going to do is, man, when we come back after these commercial breaks, man, or whatever, I'm going to break down the difference between, you know, adverse possession and squatters, all right?
Okay.
All right, let's go. Man, dude, man, sometimes you hate learning stuff, man, and then you turn around and say, man, dude, you get your money and you want to try to own something and then you can't keep it up. Man, that's just crazy, man. Whatever, let's go.
Do you need or know someone that needs advertising at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
If your furnace broke down, would you call an expert rapper?
Ooh, your furnace broke down. Now everybody chilling from your head down to your toes. You got no feeling.
Yeah, no. You'd call the real furnace experts. Service experts. You'll get a written 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, get a free service call with any repair. Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS. Or visit serviceexperts.com. Visit serviceexperts.com for license information.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's the shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
Please visit the website www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org for more information on events or speaking engagements.
On-Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
Hey, yo, Ace, I'm having a hard time getting my mixtape heard. You know where I can go get my mixtape heard?
Yeah, bro, just go check out Western World 1. You got to have your bars ready. You got to have it clean. Make sure it don't be whack. You got to be entertaining, bro. Go to westernworld1.com. That's westernworld1.com.
Yeah, that's right. Get your mixtape heard each and every Friday here. westernworld1.com. That's westernworld1.com. Get that mixtape. Get it to us. Check it out. That's how we do it. Each and every Friday. Each and every 7:30 p.m. Let's go.
The Western World 1 Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and westernworld1.com. Until now. By using our mobile app, just log on to www.westernworld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. westernworld1.com.
All right, man, we back in the building, man. Man, B.
Going on?
Hey, right, man, well, like, what I'm going to do is this, man, for the people, man. I'm going to break down the difference of adverse possession, a.k.a. squatter rights. So I'm going to play this clip again so that way you all know, you know, what it is, what it means. It's like three minutes in 51 seconds, all right? So about 4 minutes, all right? But pay attention to it because it got five things that you can, you know what I'm saying, be protected by this thing, all right?
Okay.
Hey, before I play this clip, what you say I was doing? I was violating the street code?
Yeah, you telling my business. Hold on.
All right, people, here you go.
Hello, my name is Jennifer George, and I'm an attorney at Isaac Brandt Lebanon Teeter in Columbus, Ohio. Today, I wanted to speak to you about an area of property law. Now, whether or not you own property, actually, this area of the law could very well affect you. So if you don't own property, don't turn off this video. The area of law is called adverse possession. And it's actually surprising, I think, for most people to learn that such an area of law exists and how it affects us on a daily basis. And the reason I think it's particularly applicable to today's society is because it's no secret that we're getting larger and larger, and because of that, we're oftentimes building closer and closer. So what is adverse possession? In short, adverse possession is a way for someone who doesn't have legal title to land to actually become an owner of that land. Or, inversely, if you do have legal title to the land, you can actually lose legal title to that land to someone who does not have it. And what the law looks at as far as reasoning or policy behind why have adverse possession is it's a way to stabilize our boundaries. Like I said, we're all building fast. A lot of times you could have two plots of land. You could have a house built on that land and never truly have a survey done. Or perhaps you put up a fence, but you're fairly certain based on your mind's eye and based on activity that happens around the property on a daily basis that that is your property line and that's where you erected that fence. Well, your choice to erect an offense in that area could have long-lasting effects, and that's where adverse possession comes in. So if, for instance, someone once says, actually, that is my land, where you say it's your land, that is my land, the law is going to ask them to show five things, and there are five things they need to prove to show that they get title to that legal title to the land that's actually yours. And the five things are whether there is actual possession of that plot of land, which means, is there physical appearance of activity on that land, whether it's planting plants, trees, putting up a fence, whether that person's there on a daily basis. Next, they look at whether there's what's called open and notorious. And that is essentially similar to actual possession, which is when someone drives by, does it look like someone lives on that land? Are you doing to that land what a real owner would be doing to that land? Next is something called hostile, which isn't truly what it sounds like. Hostile is pretty much that you're acting as if you own that land when it's really not yours. It doesn't matter whether it's intent to do that or whether there's no intent to do it. Maybe it's by mistake. Next, it has to be exclusive, which means if you're acting a certain way on land that's not yours, that you're not actually sharing that with who is the rightful owner of it. And finally, it needs to be continuous, which means there shouldn't be huge breaks of time in which you're being active on that land. And that is really going to be regarded depending on what type of land it is. For instance, is it a field where crops are grown? Or is it a residential property where you should be out there on a daily basis or pretty close to it? And the next kicker is that there's a long period of time for which these five things need to go on. It's actually 21 years under Ohio law. And Ohio is one of the states where adverse possession is a true doctrine that is enforced by the Ohio courts and has recently been by the Ohio Supreme Court. So a legal tip is take note of where your property lines are. Take steps to verify them. If you think there's irregular activity that shouldn't be going on, take steps to put others on notice that in fact there are. If you have any questions about this matter or any other legal issues, please don't hesitate to call us at Isaac Brandt Levin and Teeter, 614-221-2121. Thank you.
Wow. Tell you something about that, B.
Man, that's just something else, B. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's just like, it's an eye-opener to what you can and can't do. Oh, okay. I appreciate it. Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's just something else as far as, you know, what you can and can't do, you know. It's just like, wow, you know. You know, it really is. You know, we have so many different rights, and at the end of the day, you know, you think like, man, I'm a landlord. You know, I didn't went out my way, saved my money, got my credit together to buy this property. Stuff went sideways, and somebody else can come along and just take it like that. And it doesn't even... And they legally took it, you know. They legally took it. You know, that's the real kicker, because they legally took your property. Not like they illegally took your property. They legally took your property. Typically, under the other care, if you pay a fee. Yeah, they legally took your property. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know...
Now check this out.
Yeah. That's what the breaks the killer part about it is.
So you're looking at it basically as it's like a double edged sword, okay? I own this property.
Yeah, it's a double edged sword.
Okay.
It's a double edged sword.
Now, if I was a slumlord, then you know you don't need that property to begin with, right?
Well, if you're a slumlord, let's look at it like that too. If you're a slumlord and the and you just stop paying your rent because of XYZ reasons, you can take that to court and prove also that, hey, you know, this is where my rent money is supposed to provide a certain way of life. And if you're not doing this, then I have legal action, legal recourse, is the correct term, to use to say, hey, listen, I didn't sign up to live like this. I signed up to live like that. You know, I told a tenant one time when I was working in his apartment, I told him, I said, he was very disappointed on how the place was kept. And I said, well, stop paying your rent then. Save that money. Go hire somebody else. Let them know if they don't get it together and this is the way of living that you want to live like. Let them know, hey, I deserve to live like this. And get that person, let's get that place up the park. You would go hire somebody to do the job for you. In the process of doing the job for you, now you don't have to pay rent because what you did was you paid for a lifestyle on how you wanted to live.
Gotcha. So you mean like the lifestyle? Can you break that down for me?
Can I break what down?
You said he inherits the lifestyle.
Yeah, because a certain lifestyle I want to live, and if I'm not paying for that, I'm paying for a certain lifestyle. So I want a clean place. I don't want my plumbing to be falling apart. I don't want this, that, and the other. So I'm paying for that. That's what my rent is going towards, the upkeep of the place and my lifestyle. And if you're not doing it, then I have to pay somebody else to live like how I want to live.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm just looking at the whole thing, right? So I know the people, now we know the difference between the adverse possession, which AKA squatting. We know what it is and what they're doing. Okay? Now, I want you guys to look at it like, okay, if a squatter is doing it to get paid off the deal. Okay? So I'm going to go back and I'm gonna play clip one. Okay, so the people can understand. And let me see here. Let me hit this one. Okay, here we go. This clip one. And this is where your squatter rights and wrong. And in this case, this dude is trying to get money off of this situation. All right, let's go.
About a year ago, Lynn Reed was in the market for a small home in a good neighborhood. Her real estate agent showed her this one. So she made an offer, but the deal was somewhat complicated by the fact that this was a short sale. That's when a financially troubled seller works with the bank to sell the property for less than the seller owes.
Unfortunately, because the lenders are taking so long in their process to get approval for a short sale, or for a foreclosure, we are seeing properties stay vacant without anybody taking charge of the property for sometimes more than a year.
This place was only vacant a few months before someone moved in.
We hadn't closed the property, and a squatter showed up,
And there were a number of men who had buckets of paint. And then one of the neighbors noticed this, and the agents noticed this, and they tried to come over and stop this from happening. But before they could do anything, this squatter had moved in and put the utilities in his name.
Lynn Reed says this is the squatter, videotaped by an investigator she hired. His name is Terry Savoy, and he has had run-ins with the law before. Even so, the police said there was nothing they could do.
He doesn't have to show any proof that he actually owns the property or is legally renting the property or anything like this. And that's all it takes. He establishes residency. A piece of mail comes to the property, and the sheriff will not arrest him because they think it's a civil matter at that point.
The police are often reluctant to get into the middle of these disputes because the squatter may produce official-looking documents, and the police are in no position to judge whether they're legitimate. So the legal owner must go to court to get an eviction notice, and that process can take months. Making matters worse, the legal owner in this case was in no position to go to court.
The problem is, this is a short sale. The owner has no money to be represented by an attorney to get this guy out. So that makes it much more difficult.
So this guy was smart enough to target that kind of a property.
Yes. Right. We believed so, yes.
But Savoy seemed to have been interested in more than just securing a place to live.
Wow. So this boy, Savoy...
Man, he knew what to do.
Man,
he basically
so
knew what to do.
You got basically got professional squatters, man.
Yeah. Came in there, put the paint on the wall, fixed it up the place the way he wanted to live, and knew that, hey, it's going to take 3 to 4 months before the landlord even put me out.
Wow.
3 to 4 months before the landlord put me out. Yep.
3 to 4 months, man.
Before the landlord can turn around and put me out.
Three to four months, man.
Yeah. So now you're dealing with a problem and an issue.
See, it's crazy, man. Because you know what? Let me ask you this question, LB.
Mm-hmm.
I got a person on Facebook, man. I'm not gonna say their name. I'm just gonna say Diva, okay? All right, now Diva, right? She said thanks for the info, right? Are you for it or against this action? And I'm going to ask you that question, too. Are you for it or against the action, LB?
Am I for the action being taken against the squatter?
Yeah.
That's a catch-22. If the squatter went in there and made the place that was an eyesore and he made it more presentable, I'm against it. But now, if the squatter came in there and made the place worse than what it actually, if the squatter made it worse than what it actually was, and he's attracting a lot of unsavory characters and traffic and so on and so forth, then I'm for it. So that depends on, you know, because some, you know, everybody's not a bad person. Some people just had a bad deal in the circumstances that they were given, so they turn around and try to make the best of that situation by saying, hey, you know, I seen an opportunity to at least have a roof over my head for a short amount until things get better. So, you know, it all depends upon the person and their circumstances, so on and so forth. You know, here in Chicago, we have this big thing, and, you know, I think this is a thing in L.A., Atlanta, I know Atlanta for sure, where people were coming in and they were stealing the copper and metal and stuff like that out of the apartments and so on and so forth. So in the process of them doing all of this stealing,
nobody was living in this place. At least if I have somebody who's living in there until the time being of me selling this property, if it's a short sale or something like that, in the short time of me selling this property, I could say, well, you know what, let me get rid of, you know, let me let this person live here. At least I have a chance, and I will write it up as, you could stay here until I get a buyer for this property, or able to get someone else to rent it out for, you know, XYZ times, because if not, what happens is I get people who come in here and want to steal the furnace, steal the hot water tank, steal the all of the plumbing and so on and so forth. But at least if I have someone where people can see that the person is going in and out, and that's an asset to me. You know, it's like I don't have to pay out of my pocket for a house sitter to just sit in the house. So it can go in that, and it can go in your favor in the same breath of air. That's why everything is not like, you know, quick, like, oh, just go put the people out, this, that, and the other, yada, 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 because you have to weigh your options in that situation. Like, okay, is it benefiting me, or is it and it's hindering me more so?
Gotcha. Wow, man. See, you know, I answered that same question, you know what I'm saying, because there's two ways to that, because we go back to the subsidized housing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The banks buy these buildings, you know what I'm saying, or they take over whatever it was, the property taxes or whatever, because they're confiscated and say, okay, well, pay the taxes on this place and you can have it. Sell it for little or nothing, okay? Now, they move in, like, you know, the working family or the single family, and they'll subsidize it. And I don't have nothing against subsidized housing, you know, so I love it. I mean, because if you are trying to start over and, you know, your rent go back down to zero, if you lose your job or something like that, I mean, who wouldn't want that type of luxury, okay? But
mm-hmm.
It's almost like a squatter, because if that squatter don't have no money, they in there. Let's say a squatter with a family, okay? They in there, they fix the place up, they do everything they need to do. And I'm sure a lot of people need something to, you know, your two major expenses is what? Your mortgage, rent, car note.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two most expensive, you know what I'm saying, things that you have to pay. Now, if you know them, and I have, let's say, I got a job, and I go with the law firm, I'll say McDonald's. And McDonald's, I'm just using McDonald's as an example, okay? I work,
mm-hmm.
you know what, let me scratch that, strike that. Working at a fast food place, okay?
Uh-huh.
I work at a fast food joint. You know, they trying to get the minimum wage to $10 in Illinois. But now, you know, we just say minimum wage, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
I could stack my money because, you know, a decent home is like, what, $700? If you're paying rent, like $700, $750 or whatever for like a two-bedroom, three-bedroom, depending on what area you live in. Because $700 could go for like studio apartments on the north side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Like 11 apartments, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That money, can you imagine me saving $700 a month for the next 10 months? That's $7,000 that I could save in 10
mm-hmm.
months. That would not only give me enough time to get a kickstart onto what I need to do to start living my life, but man, you ain't even up under the squatter's limitation, cause, which is 20 years, right, to have that land in order to say you own it. And if
mm-hmm.
I'm a slumlord or I abandon my property, I don't have no more money to, you know, to rent it out to nobody or to do anything I need to do, I could then come to you and say, hey, man, you know what? I charge $700 a month for this, man, but, you know, you fix this place up, I could make you a maintenance dude. Bad
mm-hmm.
thing, no robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Then we
mm-hmm.
work in the heat. Now, let's go with this. If I'm a crackhead, if I'm just a bum that just don't want to do nothing, if I'm just a person that's just nasty, I don't care if I'm a slumlord or not, I wouldn't want you in that property. Because you're going to
mm-hmm.
do way more damage with it than you are to save.
Exactly.
So that's why I say the double-edged sword comes in with it. You can't pick and choose a squatter.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Right. You damn sure can't pick and choose a squatter. You're right about that.
You know what I mean? But you know what? I'm going to play this. This dude, this is one of them. He almost got away with it. But like you said earlier, it was the greed that got him. Okay? So I'm going to play this second clip. So now we know what an adverse possession is, a.k.a. the squatter's rights. We know what that is, okay? Excuse me. I played the clip on that already. Now, we on clip two of the squatter's. Okay, the right and wrong, right? Here we go.
He took out this ad on Craigslist, advertising the home for rent.
We found this ad in Craigslist.
Oh, you're kidding.
For this place.
Oh, my God.
So he's been trying to advertise this.
Oh, well, yeah, there we are.
Yeah.
Even with the furniture.
It's exactly. This
yep.
is the house. And
uh-huh.
he's saying, beautiful single family home, full of personality.
It does.
In a quiet residential neighborhood. And it goes on, the home is
uh-huh.
perfect. And then, of course, here we are. This is the room we're looking at. And he's tidied it up. It looks fabulous.
Savoy's ad attracted multiple renters, and several of them put down cash deposits ranging from $1,200 to $3,000 and signed official-looking leases. Renters say he kept putting off the promised move-in date by claiming repairs were needed. But his luck ran out one fateful day in December when several of those would-be renters happened to show up at exactly the same moment.
What's up, man? How are you?
Likewise.
What's going on here?
Jose Castillo first met Ben Daly when they both came to question Savoy about why the so-called plumbing repairs were taking so long.
I put in the driveway, looking around, looking for the water main damage. Ben sees me. He pulls up behind me and asks me what I'm here for. And I explain to him that my stepson's going to rent this property today. And
their son had paid first and last on this house already. And from that point, I knew, you know.
It was a scam.
Yeah, and he pulled up and saw both of us and didn't leave. He pulled up and parked right there, and my buddy parked his truck behind him, blocking him in.
So Ben proceeded to call the police, and then I proceeded to call the police, and then the police showed up to discover at the end of all this that he's not the owner of this property. He broke in, posing as the owner, and stealing people's deposits.
The police arrested Savoy because there appears to be evidence these people had been criminally defrauded, but the victims have yet to recover their money. Castillo's stepson, Daniel, put down $3,000 in cash with hopes of living in the house with his wife and three children.
We were under the assumption that we were moving in on the 15th. We signed the lease. We had a move-in date. He gave us keys. Which we later
found. He gave you keys?
Yeah,
which we later found out they didn't work.
The Castillos and Ben Daly have both filed suit against Savoy in small claims court. They are still stunned at the cool way they say Savoy played them. When we reached Savoy, he had no comment for.
Of course he had no comment. Man, these people are tripping me out. We reached out to him. What is he going to say? Okay, you need to see Savoy, Elby. What would you say?
No comment. You might not even get that mess up out of me. When you start asking me questions, I'm going to hang up. That's no comment enough. You know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, what can a man say after he done turned around and took your money? You know, you can't say too much of anything. First and foremost, let me be clear something up. He was slick, but he wasn't that slick. What I mean by he wasn't that slick is when I pulled up and I seen two separate people standing in the driveway, and I knew I took both their money, ain't no way in the world to park my car and get out and act like I'm going to have a conversation with you. I would turn around, look at you, and be like, you know what, the jig is up, I'm gone. I never put that boy to drive on. Good, point blank. I'm not going to give you time enough to even get in your car to block me in and then call the police. I'm not going to give you that time. I'm going to see both of you, and I'm going to be like, oh, shit, the jig is up, and I'm going to get in the car and drive off on your ass. Period, point blank. So he was slick, but he wasn't that slick because he couldn't perceive, you know, and that's what greed sets in. He couldn't perceive the time to let things go.
My man made almost 5 racks.
Yeah.
He made almost 3 G's, and another was like 1,200, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
He made 5 racks. $3,800, man. And that ain't a... No, $4,800. $4,200, something like that. $5,000. We're going to say $5,000. This man, it wasn't enough. That wasn't enough to get out of Dodge. Like, you wrong. And then on top of that, you still made some money? This
mm-hmm.
goes back to what your father said, man. He said, sometimes, man, it's kind of hard to say that you're blessed because the devil will give you the riches of as well as you would think it was God.
Mm-hmm.
So we know
exactly.
What he's saying here. He's doing no good. He's under the act, okay? He's under the
mm-hmm.
Adverse Possession Act, okay? Which is a process by which premises can change ownership by using the property for a period of time without paying for it. That's him, so what? It is governed by the state concerning the title of a real property landlord, the fixed structure to build upon it, okay? By adverse
mm-hmm.
possessing the title, another real property can be acquired without compensation. By holding the property in a manner that conflicts with the true owner's rights for a specific period, meaning that, you know, so remember we said the 21, the 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
For example, squatter rights are a specific form of adverse possession. He had the property, which the landlord knew that he had it, but the landlord didn't have no money to fight to get him up out of there, so she didn't know what to do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So she went to the local news, which was a good thing. I advise anybody that have problems, man, and don't have no money or something like that, go to the news, and the news will help, because I'm going to seek the news for certain things that I need to take care of, too. So y'all going to be seeing me. But
you
anyway,
know that, bro.
This dude here, the reason why I call him a professional, he put furniture in there, probably got bad bugs in it, and took pictures and threw it on Craigslist. Dude. Wow. This is not the bad part about it. They called the police on this man. He went to jail. I'm gonna play part 3 of it. Alright? So that way I'm not giving none away. I'm gonna just let it speak for itself. Alright, here go part 3. Let's go.
Squatters'
okay.
rights are protected under certain circumstances. If a squatter moves into an abandoned building, pays property taxes, and the owner doesn't object, he could end up owning that property. But now a new breed of squatters, con artists, are taking advantage of that gray legal area.
So widespread is the practice that there are now websites devoted to instructing people how to get away with squatting in abandoned properties. One tip, if you can make a rundown exterior look great, your neighbors might actually appreciate you.
The laws of California regarding this kind of situation have not kept up with the situation. The laws are targeted to protect tenants against abusive landlords. And that's the laws under which a squatter is able to stay in the property. So we don't have a law or yet that helps a landlord. We have laws that help illegal tenants.
Of course, owners can always go to court and win an eviction.
Sheriff's Department.
It can take a long time and it can cost thousands of dollars.
No, Sheriff's Department here for an eviction.
But as we saw when we rode along with sheriff's deputies one day, evictions are swift and certain.
Sheriff's department here for an eviction as you come to the door.
After someone is evicted and the locks are changed, the owner still has to clean up the mess they leave behind. So what can owners, buyers, and renters do to protect themselves from squatters in the first place?
Well, the very first thing is if you are an owner or a real estate agent representing an owner who moves out of a property, you have got to be absolutely, ultimately confident on a daily basis that the property is secure. So either you have somebody check on the property or you check on the property.
The only thing that I could have done is had someone that had access to one of those realtor websites, and you could find out that it was bank-owned.
Or you could just listen to your mother.
She just was like, this guy, it seems something's wrong with this guy. He's just very shaky and he's very nervous when he talks to us.
So your mother didn't trust him?
From day one when we came to see the property, she actually told me, I don't think we should rent this property.
At last report, the victims say Terry Savoy was trying to convince them that he would refund their money.
Wow. So,
yeah,
this man still got rights.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. You're right about that. You still have rights.
Man, what I love and hate at the same time about it is, I love the fact of that, you know, squatters, you know, adverse possession, a.k.a. squatters' rights, all right? They, you know, if you really need to do this, you know, something happened, you went down on hard times, and you know you get away with it, do it. What I hate about it is, if you're just a person that just, this how you do it to eat, this how you do it to get your bread, yeah, you should be kind of thrown up under that jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not even going to say throw in the jail, you know, because I can't judge you. I'm just saying, like, when people give up their money for down payments or apartment or whatever, that's probably all they got to move in.
Yep. And now you done took it because the only thing you're thinking about is yourself. You're not thinking about all the other parties that it's going to affect. You're just thinking about yourself.
Man.
Period, point blank. That's all you're thinking about is yourself.
Man, see, we look at this whole situation like, yeah, man, I could have, you know, we could have covered this in about 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? But it's so good to dissect and give this whole 2-hour show towards this. Because people that are doing this on a professional scale, killing the game. People that's doing this just on a scale that, you know, they're trying to do something for their family. You know,
mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to be righteous on it, you know, God will direct you to land and tell you to stay there until it's time for you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also you got the ones that, you know, crackheads, bums, anywhere I could just lay my head to be trifling on this apartment, on this house,
mm-hmm.
on this
mm-hmm.
property. Vandalism. No, I don't need to be
mm-hmm.
there. You know what I'm saying? So you got three worst case scenarios on this, man. Now, You know, LB, you know, for people that don't know about that, you know, he owns All Town Home Repairs. So, you know, this is the type of stuff that he do know, he's a jack of all trades as far as it comes down to do constructions and, you know, plumbing, light fixtures or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So he would kind of know, you know, like the city code, which, you know, if you got to have this fixed in order for that. You know, they come out here and look at this, and, you know, like for Section 8, stuff like that, stuff that needs to be taken care of, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm a squatter. I pay you to come in and do a service. Is that still legal? Because I got you in there fixing something that I don't own.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. Because at the end of the day, I can have you come in there and fix whatever, you know. I can have you fix whatever I don't own. But it doesn't fall upon the person who's fixing it. It falls upon the person who had the work being done.
Got you. Okay. So it doesn't fall upon
the person who's fixing it. It falls upon the person who's having the work being done. Because I think, God damn it.
I kind of get an idea of what
you're saying. Yeah, because that person is asking for the work to be done, not, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I'm not inviting you to come live there. I'm just inviting you to come there to do a service. I'm paying you for a service.
Yeah, and that's going to affect, it affects the person who is, who has these because at the end of the day, all he has to do is throw his hands in the air and say, I didn't know anything about it. I was called to come and do a service. And that's all he has to do. That frees him up right then and there.
Wow. Because
that frees him up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Because the only reason why I said that is because some people be going to jail because they own private property.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So, if let's say you just got an agreement saying that, okay, this dude hired me to do this service, that's why I'm here. So, it's kind of good to have receipts and paperwork then, how to cover your stuff.
Got you.
So, that's what clears that up. Because, you know, the police coming in here arresting everybody. They ain't thinking about nobody.
Well, the police coming under. So, all I have to say, hold on for a minute, you know? I was told to do this type of work, you know, by Isaiah Skippy.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
This is the person who hired me. I didn't know, you know. And they just came in to do a job. All
right, let me ask you this. Overall, right, because I know our time's ticking down, bro. Man, it's like time went by so quick, didn't it? What is your outtake on all of this, man?
George? I'm going to say this here. At the end of the day, you know, we have a lot of people who try to prey on other people and their weaknesses. And you just have to make sure that you correct yourself, dot your I's and cross your T's when dealing with the general public. And that's mainly, you know, what it boils down to is making sure that you cover yourself in the general public when dealing with people, because people will take advantage of you. Now, you know, the age-old thing, you know, you snooze, you lose. It applies. If you do snooze, you will lose. Period, point blank. So, at the end of the day, you just got to make sure that you stay on top of your square. And that's on both sides. It's even with the squatter, you know. You have to know what you're getting involved with, you know. It's a slippery slope. You can move into somebody's place, and they get up here, and they get upset, and they come at you with their pistol. They ain't going to play with you. They're going to be like, hey, you're going to get the fuck up out of here today. So at the end of the day,
wow.
You know, it's you know, it is a slippery slope, you know, and they like, hey, you know, I ain't gonna be able to keep checking this. This man keep coming in here busting his gun up in his damn house, and it's his house. He has legal right to come shoot it because it's his house. He owns it.
The so castle at the doctor. End of,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the castle doctrine is what you're saying. Yeah, you. I just wanted to let the people know. You know, castle doctrine. Me, LB, we had did this show. Whereas you coming in, it's like he's protecting his property. So it's just a
exactly.
little bit different from standing your own ground.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, though.
But, you know, so you have to know the type of person that you're dealing with, you know, so you won't fall prey or victim, you know. But also in the clip, you know, like it said, it was like, you know, the people came in and they fixed the place up. And now the neighbors are looking at the place like, hey, this place looks fixed up. It's looking good.
I like.
So at the end of the day, they're just happy because it was an eyesore. Who wants to have family members brought around with a boarded up house and this, that, and the other, you know? So eventually what happens is the people turn around and say, well, man, you know, this is bringing down my property value. Something has to be done. And then what eventually happens is you got someone to come in and fix this place up. So now that they're fixing the place up, you like, shit, you can care less who it is, whether it was the real actual owner or not. You just glad that they didn't clean up this eyesore.
So would that benefit me if I'm trying to sell my property next door to this? Would that benefit?
Would it benefit me?
Yeah. If a squatter comes in there, they fix the place up. I want to sell my house next door to that place that was an eyesore. So can I get the actual value that's worth off of this house now versus if that house next door was bogus?
Well, this is how, in real estate, this is how this goes. They go upon how the house looks. They go upon how the house looks, but they also go upon the factor of that how's the kitchen, how's the bathroom, roofing. What was the last what the price of the last house that was sold in the neighborhood? What was it sold at? So. At the end of it all, that's what is being looked at.
So you mean to tell me that if I sold a house on that block, let's say my house is worth $139,000, but I sold a house for $70,000, or my neighbor sold his house for $70,000 in better condition. Does that mean I gotta depreciate my price of the $139,000 to level off with the $70,000?
No. Okay. It's an average price. So, like, say, like the houses are going for $200,000 in the neighborhood, between $170,000 to $200,000 in the neighborhood, and. You go and you try to put $250,000, you know, you try to put like $50,000 more into your house. You might not get that for the price because that was your own personal decision on you know, what did you want. You might not get that in price. But it'll come close to it. That's the thing. It'll become close to it, but you might not get it. But it'll come close. And that's the tricky, slippery slope of it, because you'll come close, but it won't be exact.
Exact, what it is, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Okay. Now I kind of see a little bit. Okay,
I'm for the people out there, man, I'm just really trying to get a, you know, a basic logistics of, you know, your house come in and get appraised. And a squatter in there in a house that's worth $200,000, they fix it up better than yours. You know what I mean? And the slumlord turn around and sell it for $70,000 because they don't care about the place. Would I lose depreciation off of my property if I tried to sell it for that? But you said it's a standard bar. You know, all the houses around there going somewhere around in the $200,000 range. So it really don't matter if that squatter in there did everything immaculate and he sold, you know, the slumlord come to sell the house just to get some money. It don't matter because it's already a bracket. But if you go over, let's say the $200,000 mark, you put another $50,000 in there, it's optional to sell that property, then you might lose that money.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. The only reason I'm asking these worst-case scenarios, man, because I know there's people out there that's really doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm a slumlord, B, a squatter in there, hook my spot up, and I know I got 20 years to get them up out of there, man, I got all this time to raise some money. It's selling. Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, brother. I'm going to go to commercial, man.
Go ahead.
We're going to come back and we're going to break it down, man. We're going to shut the joint down, man. Wow.
Okay, gotcha.
If your furnace broke down, would you call an expert rapper?
Whoo! Your furnace broke down, now everybody chilling. From your head down to your toes, you got no feeling.
Yeah, no. You'd call the real furnace experts. Service experts. You'll get a written 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, get a free service call with any repair. Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS. Or visit serviceexperts.com. Visit serviceexperts.com for license information.
Did you know you can't say f***ed on the radio? It's true. And you can get in some serious trouble with the FCC for saying sh*t too. That's a real shame, because those are exactly the words you'd use to describe the state of your credit. Meanwhile, you wonder what might have happened if you'd have went to CreditFX to have your credit repaired. The fact is, at CreditFX, we specialize in having credit bureaus legally erase f***ed up credit. With over 7 years of experience, knowledge, and the most advanced software in Jacksonville, our goal is to protect your financial reputation. Don't wake up in the morning feeling like shit and come home feeling totally f***ed over. Visit creditfxonline.com. If you've had credit problems in the past, and who hasn't, visit creditfxonline.com. It's the smart way to get the help you need so you can get the things you want. Visit creditfxonline.com. Believe me, you'll feel like a dumb shit someday if you don't.
I'm not satisfied with just getting by.
I like to get ahead. And that's why I carry the prepaid Visa Rush Card.
I get my pay deposited directly to my Rush Card, so I never have to pay check cashing fees ever.
And I get access to my money up to 2 days early, which comes in handy.
Plus, my prepaid Visa Rush Card makes it so easy for me to pay bills and shop online.
You can use your Rush Card to get cash or check your balance at over 23,000 MoneyPass ATMs nationwide with no fees.
And I can use it everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Why just get by when you can get ahead? Thanks, Rush Card.
Get your Rush Card right now and we'll refund your one-time card fee, a value of up to $9.95. Call 1-877-319-7243 or go to rushcard.com now and use promo code THRIVE. 1-877-319-7243. Limited time offer. Don't delay.
On-Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
Hey, yo, Ace, I'm having a hard time getting my mixtape heard. You know where I can go get my mixtape heard?
Yeah, bro, just go check out Western World 1. You gotta have your bars ready, gotta have it clean. Make sure it don't be whack. It gotta be entertaining, bro. Go to WesternWorld1.com. That's WesternWorldOne.com.
Yeah, that's right. Get your mixtape heard each and every Friday here. WesternWorld1.com. That's www.WesternWorldOne.com. Get that mixtape. Get it to us. Check it out. That's how we do it. Each and every Friday. Each and every 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's go.
The Western World 1 Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorld1.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorld1.com.
Hey, we back. Okay, let me bring somebody in. I had him on the back end. Okay, hey, how you doing, sister? I got you on live there. I can hear you now.
Free, or go to rushcard.com.
I hear your commercial. I'm trying to cut that thing off, but I just want to make sure you can hear me okay.
I hear you.
Okay, good. Now, I'm not on, you said I'm on live now?
Yeah, did you want to be on live?
Well, that's fine. It's all good. I was listening to what you all were talking about. I know you asked a question about if you fixed up a house, if the person fixed up the house or, you know, the squatter or what have you, would it increase your property value if someone came to buy it? And so just from my experience and knowledge of being in real estate, I can tell you that that comes down to curb appeal. You know, if a person were coming out to buy a house and they're looking at it and they see a boarded up house next to the home that they're about to buy, it's going to definitely, that curb appeal is not going to be as high as it would be if that home next to it were fixed up. So, yes, then it's going to become more appealing to the buyer if that house is, that house next door or in the neighborhood is fixed up as opposed to a boarded up home. Especially when you have kids and, you know, you worry about those things and who's in that house. And, you know, there have been so many cases of, you know, houses that are vacant having people in there and the kids go in and play and that kind of thing. So, yes, it comes down to curb appeal, and that would definitely enhance the value of your home if that property near it were fixed up.
Wow.
I was just wanted to add on that.
Wow, you know, and I thank you for calling in too, man, because, you know, it's a lot of people out there, man, that, you know, adverse possession, squatters' rights, obviously is real, you know. And you, like you say, even if that person was a squatter, you know, your family moves into a, you know, apartment or a home next to this place, you don't know what is in there. And then you said the curb appeal. Can increase or decrease whatever the situation is if you're trying to sell, right? Is I'm getting it kind of clear?
Yeah, it's clear. If you're trying to sell, you don't want a boarded up home or a vacant house next to your home because it does decrease the curb appeal. You know, because they're not just looking at your home. Your home could be immaculate. Your home could be beautiful and the grass groomed and everything. But, you know, if the house next door to it has grass growing high, you know, it's boarded up or it's, you know, just vacant and, you know, there's trash all over the place, it's going to take away from your home. So you got to remember people are buying, you know, people when they come to buy a house, they're looking at what makes them feel good. You know, this house makes me, you know, want to buy it. And if they see something that's in a neighborhood that doesn't appeal to them, then they won't want to buy that house. It doesn't matter what kind of price tag you put on it.
Got you. So it's like a welcome, the features and benefits for them. This house won't make it. Okay, got you.
Yeah, and of course when they're looking, they're not looking to see if, you know, who's well, some people do. Now, some people do go and check out who the neighbors are, but for the most part, as long as the neighborhood looks good and it looks intact, you know, that they're fine with it. But if there's a vacant home, that does not look good for you trying to sell your home.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. I know you're calling from a 404. Is that Wisconsin? What state is that?
That's Georgia.
Georgia? Okay. Are you into real estate?
I was. And as a matter of fact, I still am. And I when I saw your post about the adverse possession,
uh-huh.
You know, my look at it is different, you know, because my question was more so on what is the process, which I do know the process. I'm familiar with the process of adverse possession. And I know that there are several ways to get into a property. So I'm not so looking at it as the squatter side of it, more so as the business aspect of getting into that property and legally having possession of it. And, you know, what is it to it? You know, I wasn't sure if you all were going to discuss the ins and outs, but you all are mostly discussing it from this side of, you know, squatters getting into the home when it's vacant and, you know, doing whatever it is they do. And then, of course, the illegal action of taking advantage of people and lying to them. So I wasn't looking at it from that side of it.
Well, now, you know, the other business side of it, I'm not really not trying to, you know, go into the whole aspect of it because I'm not a realtor. Okay?
Right.
I'm just going off of the fact of that, you know, I know some people that was going through the squatters. I know some people that's just how to get money off of this. So it's more like a double-edged sword, like what we were talking about earlier, how you can prevent this. You know, so what you need to do, those type of steps. Now, when it goes into, you know, your realm of the area, you know, so that's what I'll say, hey, let me bring you on the show. And, you know, you can definitely break that down. I would love to have, like, a live person to educate or, you know, saying, or give some knowledge or something like that, you know, saying, as far as you trying to get into real estate. And, you know, and I think it's pretty good, you know, saying, like, far as, and I'm going to go with the African Americans, you know, because I really try to, you know, share the knowledge with them. And I'm going to go with African Americans, man. For people that's trying to do things like that and really need that type of information, I would definitely love to have you come on and, you know, teach us or, you know, entertain it or, you know, give us some kind of advice on where to go. Do you have a website or something like that? Or is it, you know, is there a way we can contact you? Or do you just pretty much just call me? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I'm gonna, you know what, and you and I are in contact, and I would love to go into detail on some of the, you know, the knowledge that I have about getting in the properties and, you know, how to, you know, legally own and take advantage of some of the things out there. And I, we're in a recession here, or you know, whatever is going on with the country. And the thing is, a lot of people don't even understand. You really never own property anyway. You, I don't care if you
that's
pay
right.
the house
that's
off.
That's right. That 14th Amendment.
You still don't own it. But there are ways to, I would say, take advantage legally of the laws that are out there and understand them. And have them to work for you. You know, we've been taken advantage of with respect to, you know, the lending practices of some of these companies. And there are ways that, you know, if we knew what our rights are and if we understand what kind of legal actions we can take. And there's so many ways to, you know, take advantage of opportunities that are out there. And so I would love to go into more detail, especially with respect to this action.
Well, you know what?
I
don't want to cut you off because we got about 30 seconds left. If you can inbox me your information, if you saw it on Facebook or Twitter, whatever you saw it on, if you can inbox me the information, that way I'll be in contact with you. We'll set it up for you.
Okay, and let me get your Facebook name again.
Yeah, it's Dennis Weston, D-E-N-N-I-S, Weston, W-E-S-T-O-N. Put that right up in there.
Yeah, I'll inbox you and we'll talk. And whenever you want to do that, I'd love to do it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, man, for being on my show, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you and a great show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you need or know someone that needs advertisement at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
Well, there you have it, people. Thank you, man. Once again, it's been a pleasure, man. WesternWorld1.com. Or hit us up, man. Get that mobile app. Google search. Western World 1 at the Google Play Store. Type all that in. Download that free mobile app. We out. Peace. I'll be right back at it tomorrow, though. 4:30 Central Standard Time.